Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we'll be discussing esports venues and design. Just as a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice. This is all the information for educational purposes only. This week's guest is Alec Posley. Alec is the co-founder of Brooklyn, which is Esports Arena. Brooklyn is New York's largest home for everything esports, video games, and tabletop. Before starting the venue, he was the director of marketing at Better Social, which builds tools for top internet creators and brands. He's also currently on the Next Gen Advisory Board of Hofstra University, their Center for Entrepreneurship, where he helps students build and scale their businesses. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Good, good. You know, just glad that we got to have this. So, you know, tell us a little about your past esports and gaming experience. You know, what was the first game you played and how'd you kind of get involved in esports?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. The first game I ever played, first game I consciously remember on anything console is probably Pokemon Red. Still to this day, diehard Crystal fan, Pokemon Red fan, Pokemon fan in general. So definitely had a lasting impression. PC, my uncle actually used to have Counter-Strike installed in his work computer, and anytime I'd go to visit him, I'd play some of that. So,
okay, so some classics you got there.
Yeah, I'm still probably as good at CS now as I was when I was like 7, so not that much of an improvement.
Hey, those games are hard. You know, I'm the guy that lands in Fortnite and just gets killed immediately without the gun or bullets. Just, you know, so I know how hard first person shooters can be if you don't shoot well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, yeah, so how'd you kind of get involved, like, you know, the esports and gaming side of stuff in a professional capacity?
Yeah, absolutely. So, been hosting LANs, you know, with friends since middle school, high school. We actually had a really cool history teacher who was really into StarCraft, would let us, you know, host LANs in the classroom after school and stuff like that. So, you know, we kind of fell in love with it there, went to some local Halo tournaments, got a bit involved with some of that. Some of that organizing. I grew up between here and LA, so kind of back and forth, like half and half my whole life. And so, I mean, I think one of the most important things growing up was, you know, gaming kind of connected me to like moving to new towns and meeting new friends. And, you know, something I always loved was going to local game shops, you know, going to local like internet cafes and LAN centers and meeting new people, going to tournaments. So I just kind of fell in love with it, you know, from the very beginning. I got really into MLG. MLG is kind of what got me into the whole more professional and, you know, more organized circuit scene. Halo 2, to this day, still, I think, some of the best competitive production out there from those guys over at MLG. So, yeah, I mean, I got really into it there, you know, watching it. I think it was on, like, USA back then and, you know, catching VODs online. I know, and then they rolled out game battles. I had some friends who were competing in that. I wasn't as good. So, you know, I played more on the casual side. And then in college, I went to Hofstra here on Long Island and started working with some like the esports club there and just, you know, we'd organize some things. We ended up with we started a Hofstra University Startups, which is like an entrepreneurship club. you know, focused on students building businesses and just kind of working on collaborating and honestly just hanging out with a bunch of like-minded people. But me and the president at the time, who now he works at Riot, appropriately, and we were looking to do a fundraiser to get us to Florida, which was a big trip. You know, the school gave a little bit of funding, not nearly enough for any of us to go, or for all of us to go. And so we thought, what do people love? You know, we you know, you see standard fundraising, like bake sales, stuff like that all the time, which is great, but we kind of wanted to try something a little new. I ended up dragging my TV down to the student center there, brought the GameCube, set up some Melee, $1 plays for the fundraiser, ended up having public safety get called on us because the line was just wrapped around from inside the cafeteria, outside, et cetera. They brought those little dividers and those little gates, but hey, it was super, super successful. So that was, I guess more recently, ever since, you know, like middle school and high school, you know, organizing some events, ended up getting paired with my roommate who at the time was working with Red Bull. We organized some collegiate events for them. And then we started a business, towards the end of school. And the business is focused on building tools for online creators. So this is back in 2015. Built Tumblr was still kind of hot. So we were building tools for people to get their analytics, to schedule, to kind of more of the basic tools that weren't offered at the time. Then we started building some stuff for Instagram. We started looking into like YouTube, and you know, I was with Better for years and years. You know, the founders still some of my best friends. And just having a passion for gaming, and I was, you know, we were always trying to look for ways to kind of enter that creator scene. And that was kind of getting bigger and bigger on YouTube. So we started working with some smaller creators and testing out some products for them. You know, YouTube and Twitch has analytics pretty covered. So we were just kind of looking for other ways to enhance that. About that time, we were starting to look into those products. We can talk about how Brooklyn started later, actually.
Well, yes. I mean, it definitely sounds like you've been around for this, you know, true transition from this grassroots approach. And you actually kind of seemed like you used it when you were at Hofstra, being able to kind of activate the student body for this fundraiser and then further kind of growing to this next level with Red Bull, which, you know, as you mentioned, kind of brings you to almost like the next phase of, you know, your evolution. So tell us a little about Brooklyn. You know, tell us about the facility, the specs, how many consoles, the hours. Give us the 411. What is this new venue about?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we started working on this early 2019. I'm going to say like March or April 2019. So it's definitely been a little while. We just from going around, you know, country growing up, and yeah, the New York scene is incredible. You know, up until like Waypoint, you know, got built here, New York City alone was pretty deprived of, you know, a good hub and a good community for everyone. So we wanted to build something that we could find elements of that we found that were missing in New York specifically. So, you know, kind of the irony is in New York, you have a lot of Broadway stages, beautiful facilities, right? But it's still really hard to find a good, you know, 40 plus foot competitive stage that's, you know, equipped, you know, NDI and just cabling and power and PCs. And so one of the first things that we set out to do is find a space big enough where we could actually build a competitive, proper competitive stage, easily fit 6v6, you know, have server, production room, everything kind of set up. So we took this space, about a little over 5,000 square feet. So I guess I'll give you the audio walkthrough tour. So when you first walk in, we have a lounge, full bar, kitchen, console gaming up front. So right now we're starting with 10 consoles throughout the space. That'll grow. Right now we started with a smaller capacity with COVID. The whole left side of the venue is LAN center. So that a capacity will fit 30 PCs. Then in the back, we have the venue space. So seats over 100, stands probably over 150, 6v6 stage, They have a couple 86-inch TVs around, two console stations on the left and right side. We also have a dedicated team room, a private streaming room. We kind of just wanted to build, you know, a couple of the things and combined kind of the best of all worlds. In terms of tabletop, you know, we're big tabletop fans ourselves here. So, you know, we got some tables that we think are going to be good for that. Eventually we'll get some gaming tables, grow into that. But yeah, I mean, to start off, we're going to have 31 PCs, scale it up to about 50, 10 consoles, you know, probably double that. But yeah, I mean, the goal is really just to set out to build, you know, some things that we found were missing in New York and try to build, you know, the best home for the community that we can.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Amazing. So, you know, when does it open and what kind of events will you guys be hosting there?
Sure. Yeah. So opening, I know we were just talking about this a little bit before. When is this airing?
It'll be in a few weeks. So, you know, we'll be
okay. Oh yeah. So we're good. yeah. So we're going to open, we're targeting right now to open the 24th, have about 3 days for a slower launch and then do some good stuff on the weekend. Right now we're kind of waiting to get back to LAN properly. So what we're planning is a bunch of online local series events. So we'll run out the full bracket and prize pool online, and then the top X players, teams, etc., will actually qualify for in-person invitationals to be held later this summer when, you know, vaccines are up and New York opens up a little more safe, and kind of the right time to get back to LAN.
Amazing. So, you know, what kind of games are you guys going to be able to play on, you know, the consoles and the PCs? How does that all work?
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyone can come in, sign up for an account through GG Leap, which is an incredible LAN center platform. It's about $5 an hour. So if you buy more time, right, we have discounts. So for example, for $20, for $20, you get 5 hours, right? They actually have a pretty cool integration with Square, so people can either come in. Once you make the account, you can just come in, grab the equipment, and, you know, sit down, game with your friends. For COVID, we are storing all the equipment, and then every time it comes in, we sanitize it. Every time it goes out, we sanitize it. Headsets are on a 24-hour rotation. HyperX, our peripheral partner, they've been incredible throughout all of this. So, you know, once you make an account for the first time, you come in, just log into the PC, grab some equipment, you know, and start gaming. So, I mean, we're going to have everything from Valorant, Warzone, which will eat up our hard drives, you know, League, Dota, CS. We'll try to get some more legacy, maybe single player titles on there as demand insists. We'll definitely throw some 2K on the PCs as well. You know, those will be on all the consoles, but, you know, Definitely demand for 2K there, even on PC. So, and then anyone can kind of choose their peripheral. So if you want to play keyboard and mouse on the PC, go for it. If you want to play the controller, go for it. We have more than enough of that stuff in supply. So one other thing, we do have memberships. They're totally optional. We just think it makes a lot of sense to, if you're going to be here more than twice a month, honestly, the $15 membership automatically gives you $5 at the top of, or automatically gives you 5 hours at the top of each month. So that's also coupled with some food and beverage deals. We have some partners here that are going to offer deals for members. HyperX is giving 20% off to all members. Speaking with some other partners as well to kind of see how we can make that a good, you know, a good deal. I've always gone around to other LAN centers and I see memberships starting at like $50, $60. That's not something that I think really makes sense. you know, I think it's, we kind of want to build good experiences too for members in the community. I mean, also not members, but I think that'll be a good addition.
Yeah, you don't want it to be so cost prohibitive that it's like, okay, for me to spend $20 a month to go and play a couple times, like, that's great. That's how you're going to foster community and get people in it. But if you set the bar too high, it might be hard to get the amount of people, especially at the beginning, to get the interest.
Exactly. And then we also want to do something for, you know, once we get our competitive circuits more going, we want to do something there as well. So something probably similar, like a competitor pass. So you can just, you have your bracket spot and your tournament entries, you know, every single month.
That's awesome. So was there any reason why you picked, you know, Brooklyn, or is it just kind of the available space?
Yeah. So, I mean, Brooklyn was just a place we felt like was a great center point. You know, we're right along the L train, which we thought was a pretty good space. You know, thank God they didn't shut it down. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Brooklyn has amazing community. It's fairly easy to get to from the island. And, you know, we kind of want to tell, you know, stories here. Some like incredible players have come out of here and some incredible founders. So actually one of the first shows that we're going to be launching in the middle of June is going to be all about interviewing, you know, people who have made an impact on the New York gaming scene. So I know, like, you know, Hip Hop Gamer, obviously. So it'd be great to like get someone like him, you know, who's helped lay a lot of foundation and has done a lot, you know, for the gaming scene in New York, you know, get him to tell his story. And yeah, I mean, New York is, like I said before, it was deprived for so long. And it's funny because it's got to be one of the best communities. And on top of that, you know, there's transportation here is great. You know, people can get around to different venues. You can do a bunch of different stuff all in one night, which, you know, lived in some other cities, that's a lot more difficult.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, you definitely kind of look at this from a different perspective and kind of want to get a little insight on, you know, when you're designing a land center, you've mentioned you've, you know, been to a bunch of them all around. So what are some of the most important things that a designer should be aware of? You know, things they got to make sure are done right.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I have a good amount of experience in running events and video production and some other things. One thing that like no one can really prepare you for until you do it is construction. So we got this place when there was nothing. So we're actually in an old warehouse that's been converted. And we did everything from all the demising walls to chopping up the concrete to run electrical lines, make sure we have enough power, you know, all the way to plumbing. And so I definitely learned a lot about city permits. I learned a lot about, you know, kind of what it takes from the bottom to start from the very, very beginning of a building all the way through that process. I mean, in terms of some advice and things that people always want to look out for, I mean, it's kind of cliche, but like expect the unexpected, you know, expect the city to take longer than you expect to get permits, you know. It's kind of like that rule in production when like, you know, just kind of always be prepared. Yeah, I mean, make sure you're allocating, you know, enough power and then some, you know, to kind of every room and how you set that up. And, you know, if you can get into a building, especially with, you know, we're running hundreds of lines here for, you know, Cat 6, Cat 7, and if you can get in with the walls open, it's great. We did most of our wiring then. But yeah, I mean, the mayoral, this will be a bit dated, but the mayoral race debate was last night in New York, and something that one of the questions that came up, and it was a topic for maybe 20 minutes, was, hey, how do you make it easier for, you know, local businesses? And like, what's some of the, like, New York is kind of notorious for the city charging you for everything. The city likes to do violations. The city likes to do this. So yeah, I think there's a lot to learn, you know? And there's not as much of a handbook, as you'd expect. So yeah, I mean, if anything, a next project, I would love to start a company that helps small businesses like navigate a lot of city stuff, because it's expensive and a lot of it's not fair, to be honest. But
Hey, man, dealing with the government as someone who deals with the Copyright Office and the trademark, you know, it's just part of it. This is the government officials, and they have certain regulations and certain things you have to deal with, and that's just what it is. But yeah, in terms of, you know, almost – I always find what's unique is almost the design, the drapery, the lighting, the positioning. Like, what kind of things do you think if – you know, that you use when you were creating it, or that you noticed other people that you had that you liked, and that something that you think is really beneficial that maybe isn't as widely adopted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we have kind of a different style depending on where you are in the venue. I think the front, we wanted to make a little bit more inviting to, you know, people who just want to come and maybe have a drink, watch some esports, kind of maybe play some more casual games. So, you know, the design approach for the front was to kind of make it so...
It could be a date night. You could bring a girl there and you guys can play Smash and play Mario.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I mean, games definitely transcend. There are a lot of games that transcend a lot of those lines between coming in, clicking heads and CSGO and Valorant, and then being able to just come and hang out and, you know, maybe watch some 2K League. You know, play some Mario Kart and hang out. So the front is definitely designed a bit more to be a bit more inviting. Then you go down kind of the hallway. The left side, again, is you know, a lot of controlled lighting for the LAN center. So that's super, super important. And kind of even like during the time of day, like once you, you know, what is that light? Where's that light sitting at a certain time of day? Where is, you know, how does this wall reflect this and angle this? And so I think, yeah, that's important. So we wanted to go with, you know, a pretty clean look in the LAN room. Same thing with the team room. The team room is also going to be used for podcasts. So we kind of wanted to situate that in a way that would work well for, you know, for both video and audio. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's important to build, you know, a place that you'd want to hang out into, right? And like that, you know, the community, hopefully, you know, will enjoy. You know, with COVID, a lot of our setup is going to be like 6 feet apart, and the PCs right now are 6 feet apart. And, you know, that definitely throws up design a little bit, but, you know, we have some plans. Also, a thing with the city, and it's not like, you know, the regulations and stuff like that is not, you know, that's there to protect people. That's important. It's more of like the processes, right? So I think, like you said, you deal with it all the time, you know, at the trademark office, and just having someone come in there and like clean everything up a little bit for today would be nice. But it's kind of the same thing with like if you're a public assembly, you know, you have to register with the fire department and get those permits signed off for egress and this and that. So, you know, your design is also a bit reliant on that, but that's for safety and regulation. So obviously that's incredibly important.
Absolutely. So in terms of like the stage, is it you have all the competitors on stage and everyone sits in front of them? Or like, I know the 2K League, it was more of this arena setting where the players were in the middle and then you had people on either sides of them. So what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have more of kind of the traditional stage. So it's team, little space, and then team. Yeah, I mean, the 2K League, that studio is beautiful. They did a fantastic job there. Yeah, I mean, for us, we kind of have it set up more like a bit more like a traditional LAN.
So it's like what the Overwatch League stage looked like.
Right, exactly, exactly. You know, we're putting up two bars as well in the back for any partners who want to do, you know, step and repeats, things like that, backdrops or videos, you know, sponsorship activations, things like that. So I think the biggest goal with any of it was trying to make it as modular as possible for any partners, anyone in the community wants to come in and throw an event. Cool. You know, we love feedback. We're always open to feedback, how we can, you know, make events easier for you to run, you know, video production easier and this and that. But I think we did a pretty good first run at, you know, making it as modular as possible. We can move around all the stage desks so that can kind of be configured for everything from 3v3 to 1v1s to speed running to even we were talking about doing maybe some D&D campaigns on stage. You know, we can host panels up here. So yeah, the stages, you know, we'll define it more and more over time, but I think it's going to be a good kind of good centerpiece. And you can actually see it from pretty much anywhere in the venue. So if you're in the front, you know, having a drink, hanging out, you can actually see the back. So you know, you can kind of get a feel for what's going on.
Amazing. I mean, I think that it's a well-needed thing in the area, coming from someone who there really wasn't anything like this, as you mentioned. You know, there's starting to be some places, but I don't think they're on the scale of what you opened. And as you have more emphasis on in-market gaming and just the development of a recreational scene, a competitive scene, and even a casual scene, having places that are equipped to add that production value will only make those events more enjoyable for the fans and more likely to, you know, come back again and to want to go back with their friends and engage with, you know, the venue more.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the hope.
So, yeah, I know you kind of started to mention, you know, people that wanted to throw events. So tell us a little bit about, you know, any tips for those who maybe want to host an event at the venue. What do you kind of look for, and a potential, whether it's a tournament organizer or any kind of venue or event provider?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, love working with, you know, community organizers. That's one of the most fun parts, right? Is especially even some communities, right, where like I might have a blind spot in, right? And I would love to see how we can throw something, some great here. And, you know, I brought in some TOs in the area. They've seen the space and, you know, they brought up things that, you know, we didn't even think of. And I was like, oh, that'd be so cool. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, most important thing is, you know, coming in with that passion and that vision of, and again, email me anytime, you know, alec@brookland.com. You know, it's working with, you know, local TOs and even like third party TOs and larger TOs of just, you know, kind of what does that look like? What does the whole experience look like, you know, in terms of size of the bracket, or event, you know, all the way to peripherals and kind of layout. I think probably one of the most important things is just kind of being passionate, and, you know, even if it's a super, super small community, that's fine. I mean, there's, you know, communities kind of for everything. So,
What's that mean? Like 10 contestants, 20, like give me some ideas. So
yeah.
You know, you're trying to throw an event there. We need to have 50 people for it to be competitive. What do you think is a good number that event organizers, especially more up and coming ones, should try to focus on to, you know, work with venues like yours?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, our capacity is like a couple hundred, and I would say it really depends, because we've had meetups for some other podcast communities, and those were kind of just like hang out and get to know other people, grab food, grab drinks, and there's like hundreds to over 1,000 people have showed up, and you know, and then we've done smaller meetups, right? For I remember looking for a Cloud9 meetups when I first moved to New York, and just like bars in the city or restaurants or anything like that, and yeah, they'd always vary in sizes. But I think, I mean, if you're looking to host a tournament for a specific game, definitely reach out to us. You know, we will make sure that we can, you know, follow the guidelines, you know, see how we can kind of help with pricing and see what that looks like. You know, we have some amazing partners here, HyperX and AOC Phillips. And so, I mean, figuring out, you know, maybe some of those partners, you know, don't want to speak for them, but, you know, they've been great. They've been with the venue. So, you know, if you have sponsors, you know, that's kind of all things that we want to work into that, that fold as well. But yeah, I mean, we're kind of open for anything. So,
I mean, I think that's really important for, you know, everyone out there that, you know, there's this venue that's willing to engage with different communities, because as you said, you know, these games come and go, but the people that are fans of them, you know, they're not really going anywhere. If anything, they're going to tell their other two gamer friends, and, you know, 2 becomes 5 becomes 10 becomes 100 really quickly.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, even everything from, you know, obviously more traditional esports to, you know, we're planning right now a Dungeons and Dragons event, which hopefully would be a lot of fun, but,
it sounds, I think, awesome. You know, are you going to do Pokemon card events? We're going to have like, so tabletop, tell us a little bit about that. What, you know, ping pong, air hockey, what tabletops are we talking?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so in the front, we have everything from, you know, more board games, you know, from Uno, obviously Uno's super hot right now. so, you know, Uno to Jenga to to checkers to
chess. We got to have chess, right?
Absolutely. Got to have chess. I threw an operation in there just because it's been like a nostalgic staple for so long. And then everything from, you know, Settlers of Catan to D&D to, you know, we have a lot more titles from, you know, a lot of our team here on staff love tabletop. And so they've picked out some really cool stuff. But I mean, we're even partnering with local, you know, kind of organizers in that realm to start kind of getting those. So, you know, something about tabletop too, it can be, if you don't have a group, you know, it can be really hard to get into that game because you kind of need people to play a lot of these titles, right? So we want to, you know, we want to have events where, you know, we're able to kind of match people up, teach them the basics, and, you know, we'll kind of organize everything in Discord too. And so people can start, you know, LFG for, you know, relatively any title.
So when you guys are ready to put the Monopoly night together, you know, playing with my wife, two people just doesn't go. You need that three or four for it to really have merit and be a good Monopoly win.
Exactly. I mean, we're permitted to stay open until 4 a.m., you know, post-COVID. So Monopoly may take that long. So we're in. Let's do it.
So we'll shift a little bit. And, you know, you told us a little bit about what you're doing at Hofstra. So tell us a little about your work on the Next Gen Advisory Board for their Entrepreneur Center. You know, what is the center doing and how have you been involved in it?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in my senior year, I want to say, they started building a proper center for entrepreneurship at Hofstra. We actually met with the school's board and kind of walked through, you know, what we think would look really, really good in terms of helping students. And then, you know, helping the school kind of be a leader in the area. So they started building the Center for Entrepreneurship, started as like a beautiful 3,000 square foot space, elevated to I don't even know. It's an entire ground floor of a new business school building there. So it's beautiful. They have a maker space, everything from 3D printers to drones to just advisors that are there on hand, and they can kind of help out, you know, if you want to run through, you know, a go-to-market strategy or just run through your business idea and be like, you know, how do I get started? You know, Hofstra has been incredible with, you know, working with veterans. I think they did a $100,000 veterans challenge recently where, you know, you didn't even have to be a student. So my senior year was great. We started doing these, you know, business plan competitions and the school was super, super generous, you know, helping students both, you know, financially and connecting them with resources. So you saw a lot of really cool companies kind of take off. And then post-graduation, you know, I definitely wanted to stay involved. So we started a Next Gen Advisory Board, which is basically alumni that have, you know, started businesses and they're able to kind of give back, help mentor. So that's been really, really great. We've been organizing some really cool events and mentor sessions. I really enjoy just seeing kind of that spark and like that excitement, you know, for people who have new businesses. Actually, someone who I met here who started he had an idea to start like a tabletop, kind of like a tabletop cafe. And so I got paired. What's the door? So I got paired with him for a mentorship session, and the team there was like, "Trust me, like you'll realize why I paired him with you." And we talk, and so I mean, he was just so excited about that. And that was, you know, we went to PAX together, and he's helping out with some events here. So I mean, I think that's just really, really exciting for people to like in any way that I can help, right? Even just shed some small amount of knowledge to help someone kind of grow their business or whatever it may be. I guess that's one thing I forgot to mention here. Anyone who has any charities who'd love to partner with us here, that's a big thing that we want to focus on. We're going to be doing a charity tournament actually in June. So that'll be great. But I think that's also kind of that part of working at the center that I really, really enjoy.
Yeah, amazing. I think that, you know, it's always nice when you're kind of starting to do things to give back and to be kind of talking to other people that are passionate, because their passion kind of ignites yours and it lets you remember, oh yeah, like I love that I'm doing this too. And it kind of, their energy just feeds you and it's just this kind of pollination that you both have.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's some, I mean, there's some students working on some like incredible missions and like life-changing, you know, businesses. So it's really good to see that actually happening.
Awesome. Well, you know, we've always got to give back to the future and, you know, what's kind of bring this all to the clues and what's the future for Brooklyn? You know, what do you kind of have lined up? Any unique things that you're excited for that'll be in the coming months and, you know, onward?
Yeah, absolutely. So by the time this airs, this tournament may be done. So you can watch it on our, the VOD on our Twitch channel. We're doing for the next few months, you know, as, you know, COVID starts to get a little more under control, it gets a little safer out there. And until we can get back to LAN, we're going to be doing some online tournaments. And so I think I mentioned, you know, we'll be doing some online tournaments in a varying range of games. And those will also act as qualifiers for people to, you know, come in for invitationals. The brackets will be played out online, you know, so if you're not comfortable, you know, coming in just yet, you know, whenever LAN's open back up, and no problem, you know, the full tournament will be played there. This is kind of like separate events. So we'll kind of focus on that. And then in the fall, you know, we'll see kind of where the city lies, but we'd like to start some more recurring leagues, you know, get some more recurring stuff on the timeline, probably start with a small handful of games. And, you know, we have some other plans, can't talk about too early yet, but by the end of the year, we'll have some pretty new and exciting stuff kind of like beyond the walls here. So
awesome. So yeah, I mean, I definitely see this as a, you know, a venue that people that want to host their own events or even some of the larger activations, where if you're trying to do some of these more franchise or bigger ESL kind of events, it might become a stop that's, you know, manageable and customizable that didn't really exist before.
Sure. Yeah. And I was actually just reading in your book, like that segment just on like larger events and everything. And yeah, you profiled it really well. So, I mean, it was cool to see.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that, yeah, it's great to be able to do an event at the Barclay Center or Staples Center, but you can't always get 10 to 20,000 people to go to an event. And, you know, a couple hundred, 5,000, like there's still a great critical mass, and it can be an amazing event. You don't need tens of thousands of people for that.
Exactly. And I think you have a lot of really, you know, incredible companies working on building, you know, more or less like the future for, you know, kind of the funnel for, you know, competitive esports. So everything from like the little league parks of gaming to, you know, some larger stuff. So, I mean, like, you know, the team over at Nerd Street and Belong, like it's gonna get pretty crazy in, I'm guessing, every city across the world relatively soon. So yeah, it's cool to see, man.
We are bullish on rec esports and youth and collegiate and high school. Yeah. And, you know, it's just one of these things that is going to develop. And, you know, having these kind of anchor institutions like yours where, you know, kids can grow up using this top level equipment, where, let's be real, most of us can't afford this super gaming computer that's going to let you perform at the top level. Even if you have a really good computer, it's probably not going to be the level that you need to be that competitive.
Absolutely. Yeah, we spoke with, you know, the Brooklyn Borough President and some other offices about just, you know, more the, you know, the professional development side of things. And yeah, it's pretty incredible. I mean, it's the same thing with you, right? Like I don't know if you thought you'd ever like end up here, you know, going down the path that you did for a long
time. Oh, no, but I do these interviews. I'm like, I didn't think I would be a lawyer doing, you know, talking about Fortnite and Call of Duty and like, you know, teaching it, where it's like, yeah, we're talking about Ninja and 100 Thieves and Team Liquid and subscriptions on Twitch. Like, I didn't know subscriptions on Twitch were a thing, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And it's, there's so many opportunities out there. It's, you know, you can look at the NBA and, you know, what percentage of the total operations of the NBA are actual players? It's very, very small. I mean, you have from HR to, you know, to legal to, I mean, it's, you know, it's endless.
On staff, you know, the concession stand and the people selling the tickets and doing all that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's really cool to see. And I think it's going to be a really good future.
Well, yeah. So, you know, I really like to end each episode with my three questions. So, you know, what's your favorite game to watch?
Ooh, right now, Valorant. It's, It's with the way they've organized, you know, challengers, it's been incredibly fun to watch. Legacy, probably either StarCraft or actually WoW, anything like arena tournaments or, you know, okay. MDI and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I'm definitely a big StarCraft and StarCraft 2 guy. I definitely nice. Load up StarCraft 2 every once in a while when I just feel like, and it just came back to me. It was like, you know, I looked at my account, it was like 10 years between when I last played, and then I picked it up again and I was like, the hotkeys just came back to me. And
yeah,
it's just amazing to feel that way.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. Honestly, I'm really hopeful to get some events going here, some StarCraft events, because it's I haven't seen any in a while.
Oh, you know, no, I'm not that good, but
we'll have to get you in here. That we'll figure that out.
So, what's your favorite game to play
right now? I was playing Classic for a while, pretty passively though. I mean, I guess. I don't want to give all the credit to Valorant, but yeah, I mean, probably Valorant, just being able to hop in. I picked up Overwatch again, you know, somewhat recently. So kind of ping pong between those two. But yeah, I really like what, you know, Riot's doing in terms of kind of keeping it fresh between agents and maps. And I think it's been a pretty good cycle.
Yes, there's definitely a big interest in Valorant, and we're really excited to see where it goes. And, you know, finally, you know, who's your favorite video game character? You know, Mario, Luigi, Pikachu.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Let's see. It might have to go with Master Chief or Dom from Gears of War. I know those are kind of two, like, more on like the darker side of things, but
I mean, hey, those are yeah, great ones. You can't go wrong yeah. with either of those.
Yeah, or Shadow or Knuckles from Sonic. I don't play a lot of Sonic games except for maybe Sonic Adventure 2. Fantastic game. But yeah, in terms of design, unbelievable.
Okay, so yeah, so you know, thank you so much for joining us. This was really insightful. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. On Twitter at Arpanine, ARPANINE. It's kind of an ode to the Pokemon. On Discord, you know, AlecBKL1312. Feel free to shoot me a message, you know. Website brooklyn.com, you know, socials brooklyn_NY. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, yeah, you know, everyone make sure to check out brooklyn.com for, you know, their availabilities and what's going to be going on there, because it sounds like there's going to be some amazing stuff. And make sure to follow me on Twitter, JustinJESQ, and check Apple Podcasts for all our past episodes.